up, Father, that we would be able to minister to each other in body, mind, and spirit, Father, that we could pray for each other, that we would encourage each other, that we would love each other. God, I pray that this morning as we just talk, that you would just encourage us and allow us to focus on you and your goodness. God, that we would focus on what you've said and what you have for us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, team. You can have a seat. I don't know what I just did. I just brought up a bunch of emojis on my screen. I don't know how I did that. Okay. Yes. Just wait. You can come up. Whoa. No. Come. Because I can't have a minute of quiet on my recording.
Just talking to the little thing. I wanted to give God the praise this morning. Last week, I was dialyzing, and I got an excruciating cramp in the groin area. I don't know if anybody's had a cramp in the groin or not, but it is painful, very painful. And my grandson came in and he says, "Grandpa, are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm not." And he says, "I want to pray for you." And he did. 10 minutes later, the pain was gone. Gone completely. And when I finished, I was able to get up and walk out of the room. And I was just singing praise to God. So I encourage you today, do not think children cannot be used, for God can use anything. Praise the Lord for children.
Thanks, Mel. I'll just put this thing back on. I was trying not to get too close with Mel with my hip, because that would have been awkward, but I was hoping he didn't walk away too far. So we're talking about how we're made well. I just totally lost what I had, so I must have touched something. I have a happy face emoji where I was just going to talk, so it's good. We're talking about made well, and we're talking about this series on healing and miracles, and I want to start off this morning by just saying, you know, these 3 weeks, we just kind of scratched the surface of it. It's not like we're deep diving. So we're going to give opportunities throughout the year to have some deeper dives. But we need to spend some time, I thought, talking about this on a regular Sunday morning just to scratch the surface to help gain a bit of an understanding. Because I think that's something that often isn't had. So we've been talking about healing of our bodies, our minds, and supernatural healing. We talked about the fact that we believed in healing, and we did a survey, and 100% of us believed in healing, and we believe that healing was still active in the church today. And I talked about how it was my desire as a church that we go from this perspective, and we get away from this perspective, is Jesus able to heal me? Or maybe, is he willing to heal me? And step away from that and actually step into the perspective that he has, and that is that he will heal me, and he did heal me already. And I can walk in healing, and I don't have to wonder and doubt, can I be healed or will I be healed? But know that when I pray and I believe and I have dealt with some stuff in my life, that I will be healed. We talked about when we did communion, we kind of really dove deep into this idea of by his stripes we are healed, and how that scripture should ring true for us. And it wasn't just we are healed, but we were healed and we will continue to be healed. And he makes us whole. And I want you guys, if you doubt God's desire to heal you or that will God heal you, I want you to shed that doubt. I want you to get rid of it. Because God's desire is to heal you and make you whole. He designed us for wholeness. And we talked about that first week of the series, how he designed us for wholeness so much that when we cut our hand will heal itself over time, right? He designed us to be whole. When we you can barely, you can't even see it anymore, but I remember, I don't even know what I was doing. Oh, I was using a utility knife, a cheap X-Acto knife, actually, and it slipped, and I cut like a giant hole out of my hand, and I almost fell off what I was standing on, because I don't like blood, and it was spraying blood. So I flipped the skin back on. Stacy doesn't really know this. I don't think she's here, so I'm safe to tell the story. Flipped the skin back on, put a piece of paper over it, and then some electrical tape and wrapped it around. Oh, Stacy's there. You moved. Oh, I'm in trouble. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I got a big hole in my hand. And I prayed. It's a kind of a funny story, but not really. But I was praying like, Jesus, please heal my hand so my wife doesn't see it, because she's going to kill me. And I prayed, and it was an honest, heartfelt prayer, because I knew she was going to kill me, and that hole would have been nothing compared to what she would have done to me. And a couple hours later, I was like, oh, it doesn't seem to be bleeding anymore. So I peeled the electrical tape off, and see, this is what happens when we ask for prayer sometimes is we doubt. And I was like, oh, I wonder if it's going to look any better. How bad is this hole? Not, well, let's get this thing off so I can see how Jesus healed it, right? And I peeled it off, and I'm like, oh, the skin's back together. There's no blood. And it was miraculously healed, and you can't even really see where the hole was. Like, I know where it was, but you can't see it. If you were to look at my hand, the gouge of chunk of meat that I took out of my hand, you would never know. But we need to stop doubting our healing. God designed us to be whole. God designed us to be in relationship with Him. And God loves you. And you're designed to be made in connection with Him. You were designed to be in relationship with Him. So everything that we do needs to point back to God. And why? Because He loves us. And I think when we start understanding that He loves us, that He wants to see us whole, that He wants to be in connection with us, it better positions us for miracles. So I'm just going to jump straight into Scripture, because I took a look and my slushy looks like it's getting thick, so I don't have to talk for 2 hours. Don't worry, Elaine. I threatened if it wasn't thickening up before we started, I was going to be in here for hours. So we're lucky, because Nathan wants to get on the combine or whatever he drives. Swather, whatever, truck. I'm just going to stop. I don't know anything about farming. So Revelations 21:4. Thanks, Nora. You're saving me, getting me going. It says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. See, when we go to heaven, when we die and go to heaven, all pain goes away. All death, all suffering, all sickness goes away. Right? But the thing is, as I talked about last week, maybe it was last week, maybe the week before, you'll have to listen to the messages, but I talked about how we get this glimpse of eternity in our lives today. When we become Christians and we've dealt with the junk, we've dealt with our stuff, we can get a glimpse of this stuff today in our lives. And I think that that's something that is pretty, it should be pretty encouraging to us to know that when we are in relationship with Him, when we are walking in relationship and we're not having all this stuff clogging that up, that we can walk this pure life of health, of wholeness, of blessings. Matthew 8, 16 to 17. I've got a lot of scripture, and then I just got a few points, guys. I don't want to keep us long today because it is a potluck. But Matthew 8, 16 to 17 says, When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Him, and He drove out the spirits with a word and healed what? What did He heal? Sorry, no, you guys, you're not saying this right. He healed who? No. Okay, I think you guys are fooling me. Because I think, here's what happens. We start praying, and we pray for somebody, or we're being prayed for, and we're like, well, maybe You're going to heal me, God, maybe. But what does that say? Who does He heal? No, stop. Okay, you're fooling. He heals us. He heals all, right? You guys said it. He heals all the sick. It's not, oh, I'm going to heal this guy, but not that guy. No, he healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and he bore our diseases. See, when he died on the cross, when he took those stripes, when he died and rose again, that brought us in right relationship with God, right? That's what our connection is. We no longer had to sacrifice sheep. He was the ultimate sacrifice. We didn't have to sacrifice a sheep to be healthy. He took that. And because we have Jesus, we are made well. He took our sickness. He took our infirmities. He took our diseases. He bore them so we don't need to bore them. Have them, whatever the word is. 1 Peter 2:24. And this has kind of been the whole premise for these 3 weeks. And it started with communion 2 weeks ago, and then last week, and then this week. It was something I think I talked about a lot. 1 Peter 2:24, what does it say? By his what? What have you been? What? So by his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds we've been healed, guys. We don't need to say, well, if I do this, I'm good enough. Am I good enough? Am I not? Maybe if I do this dance when I'm praying, maybe it'll happen. By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we're made whole. Maybe I'm the only one that gets excited about that. I like living a whole life. I like living a life of not feeling sick, of not feeling awful, of not feeling worried. I love living this life of blessed life. I love living this life of miracles. I love living a life of wholeness. Does anybody else want to live life like that? I think we all should, yes, right? So I'm going to jump to Matthew 9:27-30. And it says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. And then he touched their eyes and said, according to your what? According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored, and Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. According to your faith. See, like I said last week, it's a tough verse. Because what I'm not saying is I'm not saying it's necessarily your faith that's keeping you from being well. There's other things that are involved in some of that. So, and believe me, I said I don't know understand the speed of healing either, because sometimes we see supernatural miraculous healings, and sometimes we see miraculous healings that take time, but we know that he heals us when we ask. Then I'm going to jump down to Mark 5:21-43, and this is kind of interesting for me. We've got a lot of reading here, but I've got two, no, you go back, there you go, I've only got two verses I'm highlighting, but I'm going to read it all, so if you bear with me. It says, when Jesus again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell to his knees, and he pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of growing better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body she was freed from suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd asking, who touched my clothes? You see people crowding against you, his disciples said, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, what? Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, a synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overwhelming what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Just what? Just believe. What's believe another word for? What? Have faith. Just have faith. Don't worry, just have faith. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion when people were wailing. Did I just read that? He went in and said to them, why all the commotion wailing? The child is not yet dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went into where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha cum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this time, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And he told them, give her something to eat. See, I think faith stops us from actually asking with full belief. That makes sense, obviously. But here's the thing. Our unbelief, when we don't necessarily fully believe, when we have faith, like just that little bit of faith, but we have unbelief, our unbelief actually takes over our faith. And our unbelief actually stops our faith. And our unbelief in things stops our faith from growing. And our unbelief stops things from happening. And our unbelief blocks our focus and our potential of what is actually available to us. And unbelief and lack of faith are different, but yet the same, because they drive the same thing. Because I know how many times I've asked for something or prayed for something, and I had just that little bit of unbelief. And you know what? That little bit of unbelief grew and took over my faith in if was this going to happen or not. And it happens time after time with so many people. And we've got to put a clamp on that unbelief, and we need to say, Father, can you help get rid of the, can you get rid of this unbelief and grow my faith, Father? Because that unbelief is what stops us. Mark 11, 22 to 25 says, have what? Have what? In God, Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. See, that's what I'm talking about, that unbelief. That unbelief stops us. It's that doubt. It's the unbelief. And then we keep reading, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received and it will be yours. Without the doubt, dump the doubt, the unbelief, and just walk in with full faith. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Say that your Father in heaven may forgive you, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Guys, this is part of the other part of the equation, is living our life with unforgiveness. Because that life of unforgiveness also blocks our faith. And I think when we allow that unforgiveness to creep in along with that doubt, man, it really takes our focus off of the goodness of Jesus and what he wants to do in our lives and make us whole. Because doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, bitterness, frustrations, all those things, they stop us from focusing on his goodness. When Mary and the team were singing that song about the goodness of God and, you know, praising him for all he's done, man, when we're focused on our unforgiveness and our issues and we are standing here in unbelief, boy, it's hard to praise the Lord for everything we've got, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. And I think sometimes it's hard to even shed that other stuff. But that's where gathering together and talking it through and encouraging each other and praying for each other and building each other up and saying, you know what, man, you gotta deal with your unforgiveness. And being bold enough to say that to each other. Being bold enough to say, I have unforgiveness in my life. I'm sorry. I forgive you. So I've got a few main points. I don't know what I have next. What do I have next, Nora? Oh, boy. Okay, I forgot about the scripture, guys. So this is my stand I want us to do as a church, this scripture. And it's James 5, 13 to 18. And it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer you offered in what? In faith will make the sick people well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, what? You need to confess, right? You need to confess your sins to each other. You need to ask for forgiveness. I'm jumping ahead of myself now. You need to confess, though. You need to confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you might be healed. We need to confess those things. We need to get rid of them. We need to shed them. See, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And what happened? It did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed for rain, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. See, I want us to be a church that can come along with each other and pray for each other and stand in faith and believe by faith and not wonder, is he going to show up this time? Because every time we ask, God shows up. It's us that's not always showing up. That's the problem. And I think what happens when we hear that sometimes, though, I'm trying to think of the polite way to say this. We get so hurt and upset and frustrated and anxious and angry. What do you mean you're telling me I have unforgiveness? What do you mean I have this? What do you mean I don't? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Well, I'm speaking to you in love. We're trying to talk in love, so don't get upset. Scripture's telling us this, isn't it? He wants us to be whole. So I have some points. I want this scripture, James 5, 13 to 18, I want that to be our heart's cry as a church this year. I want it to be our cry where our motivation that when we gather together on Sunday mornings and we're having coffee, that we have boldness enough to tell somebody, I'm going through this. I need you to pray for me. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I hope you forgive me, and we forgive each other, and we can grow together as a body. If you've got unforgiveness outside of the church, you'll deal with it. That's what I want our church to do. Because we can't do anything until, we can't be as effective until we deal with all that, right? Do you agree with me, or am I just talking to myself? Thank you. Guys, I'm glad I'm not talking to myself, because I really want us, and I believe that we can do this, but we need to do this. We need to do this in order to be effective. We need to shed this. We need to take the time that we're going to be offered and take the time and deal with stuff. And it's not just in these walls. It's out there. If we got somebody that maybe was used to attend here and jumped over to the Alliance Church and now we're mad at them for whatever reason or they're mad at us, just forgive them and let's move on. It's done. It's done. And we can, but when we hold that, and I think I shared that statement before, but when you hold that unforgiveness, when you hold that bitterness, it's like drinking that poison and expecting them to feel the pain. All you're doing is hurting yourself. All you're doing is destroying your faith. All you're doing is taking the focus off of Jesus and putting it on somebody else or on yourself. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. I've got a few main points that I want to talk about. The first point is this, miracles. As a church, that scripture, how I said that I want that to be our heart's cry as a church, I want us to believe in miracles and expect to see miracles in everything we do. When we gather together, I want us to pray for each other. I want us to encourage each other. I want us to build each other up. I want us to deal with our stuff. I want us to deal with our junk. And I want us to actually believe and see miracles. That's what I want. Does anybody else want to see miracles in our church? Could you imagine how many people would want to come and know Jesus if blind eyes were opened up? If broken arms were mended or missing fingers restored, things like that. Wouldn't people want to come and see Jesus? So then when we see stuff like that happen, we need to declare it as well to each other. And say, declare is wrong. Shout it from the mountaintop, I think is the right word. And tell people, I was sick, but I'm well in Jesus' name, and it's a miracle. And we can pray for that for each other. And that scripture lays it out for us. Healings is the second thing. It goes hand in hand with miracles. But healings. Because by his stripes we are healed. See, healings were paid for. They were paid for on the cross, and they're sitting there and they're waiting for us. If we deal with our stuff and if we take the steps, they're there waiting. See, wholeness is there waiting. But how are we going to approach it? How are we going to live? How are we going to take that step? The third thing is faith. Faith is key to serving God. And faith is a huge part in healings. And faith is something that we need to take steps to grow. And when we proclaim God's goodness over our lives, and we tell and shout our miracles that we've seen happen, faith grows, doesn't it? God did that for them. He can do that for me. And that's why people come to church when things are happening. That's why when you see revivals at churches and people are getting healed, what happens? People come! I'm excited, sorry. People come in, don't they? They want to be healed. Who doesn't want to be whole? Nobody wants to be whole? We all want to be whole, don't we? In Jesus' name. And that's the thing. We can pray for each other, and when we deal with our stuff and when we stand on those scriptures and we say, yes, yes, God, then we can be whole. And we can proclaim our healing. We can proclaim our miracles to the world. And they can experience that too when they come. That's part of experiencing the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Wholeness. My math isn't so good because I got 6 here, but yet I got 4 there. Forgiveness. We need to increase our faith by decreasing our unforgiveness. Because that's that one of those things that blocks us. How do you allow your faith to grow? How do you say you're in a loving relationship when you're filled with unforgiveness? You can't. We need to have forgiveness in our life for each other. If they didn't apologize for you, that's fine. Forgive them anyways. It's them to deal with. You don't need to bear that sin, that weight. Sorry, not sin, but you don't have to bear the weight. It's not yours to deal with. You deal with your junk. Let them deal with theirs. That's all I'm asking of you. The last thing is praising God. So on Sunday mornings, or when you're at work, or when you're driving here, when you're going to Saskatoon, when you're going wherever you're going, when you're walking wherever you're walking, are you praising God as you're walking? Are you going there with joy and praising your step for Him? Because He's called us to praise His name. And if we're not going to do it, the rocks will cry out. That's what Scripture tells us, doesn't it? So let's praise His name. Let's not come to church when we're singing praises here and no, let's stop looking at our watch. Let's sing. Let's clap. Let's praise His name with joy. Guys, if we're not praising His name with joy, what the heck are we doing here? What are we doing here? We're missing it. Let's go home and watch Sunday night football or Sunday afternoon football or whatever football's on. Or hockey. I'm sure there's a game on. No, I want you to come here and sing with joy. I want you to sing with praise. Give Him your everything. My voice is cracking. That's how much I'm passionate about. I want us to get excited about Jesus. See, we have promises as God's people. We have promises in Scripture. 600 and some promises in Scripture. 683 or something like that. So let's stand on them. Does anybody want to stand on the promises of God? Let's believe as a church that God's promises are true and they're not just something written there or made up. They're actually true, they're real for us, and we can stand on them. They're as real as the stage. They're real. So let's live with them. Let's stand on them. Let's sing praise. Let's give them our all. So this year, I ask you to spend some time in that scripture, to allow your faith to be built up as you walk with Jesus and as you deal with your stuff or whatever you've got to deal with and shed that stuff, shed your unbelief, shed whatever you need to shed, and stand together in joy, in peace. Sing praise to His name. Forgive others. Have faith that He will do what He says He will do. Believe for healings and miracles and believe that you're going to see them and believe that people will be changed because of the miracles that you have experienced in your life. Believe that others will see miracles in their lives when we pray for them. We want to come along with you as a church to pray. That's why we open the altars. It's so that we can stand with you. But you need to have the faith. You need to have taken the steps. We can stand here till we're blue in the faith, and I can pray faith face, and I can pray with you all day. And if you're full of unforgiveness and hate and anger, guess what? Probably not going to get healed very quickly. You need to deal with your stuff. You need to deal with your stuff. You need to have faith that He wants you to deal with your stuff and He wants you whole. You need to have faith that He wants you to walk in this joyful life that He's got for you. Would you guys stand? We're going to pray, and then Mary's going to lead us in one more song. And then I'm going to come pray for dinner, and then we're going to set up. But let's pray. Father God, we love you. Father, if there is things in our lives that we need to deal with, Father, if there is unbelief, if there's a lack of faith that's crept into our life, Father, I pray that you will reveal that to us, Father, so that we can deal with the things that we need to deal with, Father. God, I pray that you would just allow us to be focused fully on you and your goodness. God, I pray that we would declare your name and proclaim health and life over our families and over our own life. God, I pray that you would just give us boldness to declare and proclaim these things. Father, that we wouldn't hide and we wouldn't cower, but God, we would stand in belief and sing our praises out for your goodness because you want to make us whole. God, I pray that we would take advantage of the opportunities we've been given and build each other up and speak to each other and just encourage each other, God. Father, I pray that you would just let us live abundant, full life. God, that we wouldn't hide, but we would sing your praise, declare your name, and declare health and miracles over our lives. Father, I pray that we will see miracles this year like we've never seen before. Father, I pray that you will build our faith through these. And God, I thank you. God, I thank you, Father, for the people that are here today. God, bless them. Encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen.